If you have your Bibles, would you take them with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll begin. This will be the last message in the series on why we believe what we believe, and it has to do with our missions commitment, our missions giving. Matthew chapter 6. Tonight I'm preaching on why we believe in missions giving. I'm not preaching on why I believe in faith promise. I've done that here probably on more than one occasion. A lot of people say, well, it's faith promise. Why do we do faith promise? The same reason we do Sunday school. Sunday school is not something you can find in the Bible. It says, you know, you're supposed to do that. But we do that because we feel it's a benefit in how we can teach and train our children. And there's a lot of things that we do to aid in the work of God that there is not a Bible verse. I've told people this before. There's not a Bible verse about church building. There's not a Bible verse about indoor plumbing. And you laugh at that, but it's sort of strange how people make an issue of things, and yet they don't make an issue of things when it comes to things they want in their life. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, I don't need a Bible verse for indoor plumbing. You say, well, who would do that? The Amish? There's nothing wrong. Thank God for indoor plumbing. Why'd you put that in the church? Because it helps. Right? I didn't need a Bible verse to tell me I needed to do that. There are no electric lights in the Bible. Well, there's nothing wrong with electricity. So, again, the Amish would say different. But there are a host of things that we do in our lives we just take for granted. We do them because they help us. They help us get to the places that we feel that God wants us to be. And faith promise is the same way. It's between you and God. But if you took away all of the money that was given for missions around the world, we'd have, in faith promise, we would have a majority of missionaries coming home. And it's just a tool. It helps. There is scriptural precedent for it, how people, the church has planned a year in advance, and you can read about that in the program if you weren't here when we preached on that before. But nevertheless, I'm not preaching on that tonight, but and I want to commend you this year. The church has done more in missions giving this year than in the history of the church, and you're to be commended for that. And we couldn't have done that unless all of us were doing it together. And that's the way God wants the church to work, is to work together. And whatever part you've had in that, thank you. Thank you for keeping your commitment and making a priority of giving to the Lord. And you say, well, why do we believe in missions giving? Why is that a priority anyway? And we'll begin with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we'll continue on through the scripture giving you other examples. Because it is a big part of our church. We need to have reasons for it. Let's pray before the message. Father, I pray that you would help our hearts. Lord, thank you for the sacrifice and the commitment of your people to put you first and put the souls of men before themselves. And Lord, you blessed our people with their jobs this year, and you blessed our church family financially. And Lord, what a testimony it is to your grace and help and power that with the church giving more to missions than it ever has by far in the history of the church. At the same time, Lord, we were able to pay off our debt. And Lord, at the same time, we didn't suffer with any other thing financially. You have blessed us, Lord. And I pray you would help us to keep our priorities right. And Lord, may our hearts be willing to go deeper and deeper with you. And may we recognize that all that we have comes from you. And I pray that you would take tonight's message and you would reinforce, Lord, what many of your people have already learned. But God, you know, we've got new people and we've got people that need to hear it again. So we pray that you would help us with your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus spoke a lot about money. He really did. If you even go through the book of Matthew, he talks about money so much and giving that I had a whole list of it, but I won't go through it with you. But the Lord Jesus Christ set the precedent on dealing with money. And we need preaching on money. And there's a lot of people that don't. And you know, I don't ride hobby horse. You know, I'm not on a hobby horse about anything. I've told people before, I ride them all at one time or the other. You can deal with all the things you need to deal with. And we just preach through the Bible. But there is a reason that we emphasize that we need to be givers. And it's for God and it's for souls, but it's also for you. It's also for your benefit. And somebody that has a problem with somebody preaching on money they preach on money all the time. Well, that's not true here, because we preach on Zechariah and we preach on John. We preach in Ephesians and 1 Peter and 2 Peter. But God does say stuff about our money and about our giving. And Jesus, the reason that we need to emphasize missions giving is because you need to learn the joy of giving and the spiritual principle of giving. And Jesus shows us here in Matthew chapter 6 how important it is. He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, you know the verses, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Well, what are you going to do with your money if you don't put it up in the bank? Well, somebody asked me, well, I'll spend it. Well, that's all right. Money's to be spent. It's not to be worshipped. It's not to be craved. It's not to be coveted after. But it's to be used. It's another tool. And Jesus said, don't lay it up for yourselves, those treasures on earth. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the first principle is the words of Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus Christ tell us that wherever we put most of our money is where our hearts are going to be, wherever our treasure is, wherever those treasures that we have on earth, wherever we put them, that's where our heart belongs. I never forget, he's in heaven now, but Brother Joe West was always a blessing to my heart. And Brother Joe West would preach on giving, and he was the nicest man in the world. It's about 4'11" or whatever it was. He's a short man. And he knew God, though. And he had done so much for the cause of Christ around the world. And he would say this. He would say, you know, I had brought him up in Virginia. He preached, and he'd never been in our church. And he said, I know what's important to every one of you. He said, I know what's important to every one of you. He said, I've never met you before. And I'll never forget, he went up to this young lady, and she had her purse there. And he said, ma'am, do you have a checkbook? And she said, well, yes, I do. And he said, well, if I would ask to look at it, would you let me look at it? And you could see the nervousness, you know, and you could see the... And he didn't take the checkbook, but here's what he said in the illustration. He said, you know, I don't know who you are. I've never met you. I don't know your name. I don't know about your family life. But he said, I can tell all about what's important to you if you just give me a checkbook and let me go through your checkbook. You know, that's a principle Jesus gave us. Because wherever we put our money, that's where our heart is. Wherever we put our treasure. Some people spend all their money on their kids. Or let me take a step back. Some people spend all their money on their grandkids, right? You know why they do that? Because they love them. That's where their treasure is. There are some people that spend all their money on hunting. I mean, they go in debt and will buy hundreds of acres to have a place to hunt. Spend hundreds of dollars on tree stands and hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars on weapons. And they'll have to get them a four-wheel drive, because you know you got to have all the package. And then after you get the four-wheel drive, you've got to get the hunting clothes. And you can't just get clothes; you've got to get the clothes. You know, the clothes when it's 10 degrees, you're still toasty. And you can't just buy boots. You've got to buy the best hunting boots. You can tell what the person loves, never having met them, by just see what they spend their money on. Some people, they spend all their money on food. Boy, I tell you what, you can spend a lot of money on food. Come talk to me, I'll tell you about it. I tell you what, there's some meals to be had that'll cost you a pretty penny. I have to watch that, you know. I've been overseas and I've had some fine meals, man. And somebody said, you can't tell a difference, it's because you never ate what I've eaten. Amen. I love food, and you can tell it. If you go back and look through my checkbook, amen. Of course, we don't use that. Credit card statements, you understand. What do you care about? And then you get some people, you can tell what they love. You can either look in their checkbook or look in their closet. There's 50 pairs of shoes and 30 dresses that have been worn once. Or maybe they care for their house. They've just sunk all their money into their house. And not just their mortgage, but their furniture. And they had to even cover their furniture. I've never understood that, but they have to pay because it's so important to keep all that. That's where their heart is. And then we move on to another. And then you got people that just love their pets. I mean, they'll take them to get the chemotherapy treatments and have their surgery treatments, and they'll spend you can spend thousands of dollars on pets. And I'm not even talking about the pet food. Hey, I've had dogs. I don't have them now, thank God, but I've had dogs. They are expensive. And I tell you what, I had pure breeds of dogs. They were wonderful dogs, paid a lot of money for them. You know how much money you had to pay for some dogs? You say, preacher, are you preaching against that? No, I'm just trying to get you to stop just a minute and ask you this question. If we went through your checkbook, could we tell that your heart was on the world? Could we tell that your heart was for souls of men all around the world that need the gospel? Or if we looked at where you put your treasure, would it be more on your health care and more on your mortgage and more on your pets and more on your hobbies and more on your car and more on your family than it would be on the souls of men that need Christ? Why do we believe in missions giving? Because it helps our heart be in the right place. You understand? When I take my money and I put it for the cause of Christ and I put it in a missionary's hand and I put it for the sake of the gospel, it helps my heart be in the right place. And I want my heart to be in the right place. And I thank God for many of you that have learned that lesson. But we ought to always remember the words of Jesus that our heart is where our treasure is. And we need to make sure our treasure is in the things that God told us that were so important to Him. He said in the same chapter, you can't serve God and mammon, verse 24. He said in the same chapter in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, take no thought what for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or yet nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and body than raiment? Well, then what's life about? Drop down to verse number 33. Jesus said, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Jesus said, I want you to put the kingdom of God first. We preached this morning. What is the kingdom of God? It's God in you. It's the Spirit of God in you. It's the new birth. If we're seeking first the kingdom of God, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of other people, we will prioritize that more than what we put on, more than what we eat, more than what we drink. We will put our treasure on the kingdom of God. The Bible says, what did we read this morning? That the Apostle Paul went about preaching the kingdom of God. He put that first. He put it above his own life. He put it above everything to spread that message that there is a king and that he can change your life. Jesus said, first. I need to be first. You know, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, he said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. God wants us to put Him first. He wants us to put His will first. You know, that's the principle even of tithing and giving to God. Why do we give God 10%? Because we want to put God first. And I tell you, I don't just give God a tithe. The first thing that I'm doing with my finances, I'm putting God first in my giving to the church, and my tithe, my giving to Jesus, and to the gospel. I'm putting him first. If something's going to suffer, it's going to be something else besides those two things, because that's what's first to me. He's first. He's a preacher. Is the church supposed to tithe? Yeah, that's a whole message, but yeah, we are. Yeah, that's a wonderful principle. And the principle is this. It was before the law. Abraham paid tithes. He gave tithes to Melchizedek, his high priest. He was the priest of God. That was before any law ever happened. And the Bible says if you're of faith, you're the child of Abraham. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Are you listening? If Abraham is your father, you will do the works of Abraham. And the Bible says if we're of faith, then Abraham's our father. That's what he says in Galatians. So we ought to do the works of Abraham. What did he do? He gave tithes to the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek. Well, what does Hebrews chapter 6 and 7 tell us, or chapter 7 tell us about Melchizedek? Melchizedek, that's appearance of the Son of God. That's the light. Jesus Christ is made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That wasn't some mere man, or Jesus would be in a priesthood after a man. That was an appearance of Christ, you see. And so Abraham, a child of faith with the imputed righteousness of God, gave his money, the first 10% of it, he gave it to his priest. And the Bible said in Hebrews 7, here that die receive tithe, but there he receiveth him, whereby we testify that he liveth. Every time we give 10% to God, we are telling the world that Jesus is our priest and Jesus is alive. Amen. And I give it to him right off the top. But not only that, and I'll tell you this, you know, you can forget about giving to missions if you can't give that tithe. If you've not learned that lesson, you take that step of faith first. And I'll just say this to you. You can do a whole lot more with 90% with God blessing it than you can do if you keep all 100. I've watched that all my life. You know, I believe that. That's true. I've watched people get stingy on God and think they just couldn't afford to give God and make God a priority and put him first in their finances. And I'm telling you what, I've watched people have the most terrible ways of trying to get through. And I've watched, and you couldn't even explain it. I've watched people put God first in their finances. And you'd think, how in the world can they make it? And the blessing of God would just stretch that a lot farther than they could ever go. It's the principle of Jesus being first. And we give to God and we give to missions because we want to prioritize the Lord with our money. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Because of the words of Jesus. That's why we give. And that's why we give to missions. I mean, if we're just giving to ourselves just to have, you know, bigger and brighter buildings and bigger barns and a bigger, you know, a prettier church and a nicer place, it'd be one thing. But we're giving so that people won't go to hell. We're giving so that other places around the world have a church and have a preacher and have a Bible. And that's pleases the Lord. In Luke chapter 4, watch what Jesus says to the Jews, though they couldn't stand it when he said this. In Luke chapter 4, he said in verse 25, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now, Jesus uses this illustration about this woman that was a widow, and everybody's starving to death, and God, listen, everybody's starving to death, and God takes care of this woman. Now, why did he take care of the woman? You say, well, he took care of this woman because she took care of the man of God. You know what these flags represent? It represents us trying to take care of the men of God that are bearing the message of the Lord, but not just that. In 1 Kings, that story about that widow woman, Jesus said there were all types of widow women. There was a famine. There was a lot of people that were hungry and needed help in this famine. But there was just one person that God sent Elijah to, and that was that widow. But when he got to that widow's house, what did he say to her? He said, make me first a cake. You know, I bet that was the hardest thing she ever did. I mean, after God, listen, after God blesses you, hallelujah, now my boy's not going to die. Now I'm not going to die. And God says, okay, wait. Remember where you got all that from. Just stop just a minute. Now you're going to live and you have plenty and you've been blessed. But just stop just a minute and remember where that came from. If God had not sent somebody by your house, if a man of God had not come by your house with the word of God and the instructions you needed for your life, you'd never have what you have. So why don't you just stop and first of all, put him first. You know why you got what you have? Because God sent somebody by your house one day. You know why you've been blessed? Because it was God that came by and God that supplied your need. And oh, America's been blessed. Our church has been blessed. Some of our people here have been blessed beyond measure. And we just got to stop and say, God, I'm just going to put you first. I'm hungry, but I'm going to put you first. It's a principle all throughout the Bible. Seek ye first. Give him the first fruits, the first 10%, the widow. Because after all, remember now, it's his money. Look at Luke 19. I've said it before. Christian people have no problem giving when they believe the money that they have is not their money, but his money. Amen. What that widow had in her house wasn't hers. It's what God gave her. What you have, I don't care how hard you work for it. I don't care how long you work for it. I don't care what your job is. Whatever you got is what God's given you. And if we can just stop and understand that what we have, our tangible assets, is what God has supplied for us. He says it right here in Luke chapter 19. Jesus again. It says in Luke 19, verse 23, wherefore then gavest not thou, look at it, my money. You see that? This is a parable about what he has given to us. My money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. You know why Jesus, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, when they came to give their offerings, that he watched them. Now, look, we're not going to do that here. But, you know, I don't know if Brother Larry does it. I think Brother Larry does it sometimes. He's passing the offering plate and he's looking, you need to put some more money in. I've heard Brother Larry do that. He'll joke around and he'll be watching. What if we had a spectacle and everybody came down and they put their money in and here somebody's just watching. And somebody says, well, I want that to be private. Well, why would you want that to be private when it's not yours anyway? You know why Jesus was looking at it? Because all that was his. It was his offering. It was his provision. It was his money. I tell you what, dear Christian friend, if you would find the place in your heart that you know that everything that you have belongs to Jesus Christ, it is so hard. It is so easy. It is so easy to give somebody else's money away. But it is the devil to give your money away. Right? He's first. It's his money. God gave it to me just like this widow gave it to me. You say, well, I worked hard and long for this. God gave you the health and the strength, kept your brain working, kept your faculties working, kept you breathing. And so I've told people, I preach missions conference all around the country, and I'll tell churches this. I say, you need to ask God, how much of his money can you keep this year? Because Jesus is telling us to put him first. You know, that's, I heard Brother Earl, it changed my life. It changed my life. I heard Brother Earl preach that message on the penny. How many of you know that parable of Jesus gave about the penny? He sent them all out in the field and they worked so hard for that penny, you know. And some of them bore the heat of the day and worked long hours. And some of them just worked 1 hour. And at the end of the day, they all lined up and the master gave them all one penny. And the ones that bore the heat of the day and worked so long came up and said, hey, this isn't right. This isn't fair. Why do we just get a penny and this guy just worked 1 hour? He got a penny. And you know what the Lord said? Didn't we agree on this? Well, yeah. And then, listen. This is another great lesson of that parable. Jesus said this in that parable. Can I not do what I will with mine own? In other words, this is my penny. You wouldn't even have the penny if it wasn't for me. Well, it's just not fair. Well, you could have starved to death and not have a penny. You could not even be in the line. You could not even be in the field. You could not even be in the family. You could not even have any blessing from God. What a privilege it is to work in the field of the Master. What a privilege it is to be connected with the Master. And He says, this penny that I'm giving you, you may not think it's much, but it's mine, and I'm giving it to you. So, Lord, I'm not going to complain about it because it's yours. And, Lord, if I can give it to you, or if I can give it for others for whom you died, then I'm going to put you first. Why do you think he threw the money changers out of the temple? Let me ask you, is it a sin to change money? If it is, I've broken a lot of God's laws. I had to change money in Romania where I couldn't live. Had to change money in Greece. When we go next month, by the grace of God, to Mexico, we'll have to change money. You know why? Because they don't take your money. Oh, what a terrible thing to have money changing. That's not a terrible thing. But it is a terrible thing if that's more important to you than that place of God and that house of God and the will of God and the Word of God, you see? That's why he threw them out. Because they were more interested in that money than they were what God was trying to do. That's why he says it's hard for a rich man to enter that kingdom of God. Not because rich people, it's a hard time getting saved. But they just overpowered with what is important to them. And it's not their soul. Something else. It's why Judas complained and said, why was this waste made? What a waste. Listen, you'll never waste anything you give to God. You'll probably waste a lot of most of what you got on stuff that's not important, but you'll never waste anything giving it to Jesus Christ. And only a Judas would look that way. So why do we give to missions? Because of the words of Jesus Christ that show us that he's supposed to be first, what he wants is supposed to be first, and we should not have plenty for us and little for him and little for them. Secondly, would you go to Acts chapter 4? We believe in giving to missions not just because of the words of Jesus Christ, but also because of the example of the early church. The example of the early church, Acts chapter 4. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed, Acts 4:32, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. What an unbelievable thing to say. Preacher, why did the early church, why were there thousands of saved? Why was there a great moving of God? Why was there such boldness and such power? I tell you one reason why, because they were selfless. They weren't living for themselves. And even what they had, they didn't consider it their own. That's powerful. The Bible says that which the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. What about that? In other words, when you don't emphasize you, all of a sudden you get taken care of. That's what that said.
You said, preacher, are you taking us to... No, I'm giving you why we believe in missions giving. What does it say they did? They that possessed lands, houses and lands, what does it say right there? He says in verse 34, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You say, well, preacher, we don't have anybody starving to death here. And no, it said according to as every man had need. Take a look at the map. The need is all over the world. And the reason that we take our money, we give it to missions, is because we don't consider it ours. We consider it the Lord's. And Lord, if you need my money so that somebody in France or somebody in Papua New Guinea or somebody in Italy or somebody in Korea can have a preacher that doesn't have a preacher and have a Bible that doesn't have a Bible and get the gospel that doesn't have a gospel witness, Lord, if you need my money, I will lay it down at your feet. I will give it to you so that the world that has a great need, that need can be met. We're way far away from the early church now. And that's why it irritates me. We don't do it here because we love missions, but I hear the background noise sometimes, you know, of the brethren, other people say, why they give so much money to missions and why they're doing all that stuff. They're pushing that and they're trying to brag about all that stuff. Why they're doing all that? Because we're trying to get up to the shoelaces of the early church. The shoelaces. Can you imagine if that, I'm not saying we were going to do it. What if everybody in here started selling their houses and their lands and bringing all their money and brought it to church and said, all right, just send it all out and provide the gospel to the whole world, and we all became paupers? What would the world say about us? They have lost their minds. Yeah, they're a cult. You're reading about the cult right there. That's what they're doing. That's the heart that we don't have and that we'll probably never have. But if we can just head that way, if we can head that way and look at the example of that early church, and look, here comes Barnabas, verse 36. He said, preacher, is this about missions? Well, of course it is. Look, verse 36. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, a surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. And guess who Barnabas was? He was the first partner of the missionary team. You know how he passed the test? It wasn't his seminary education. It was his giving education. He had prioritized the gospel above himself, and God used him and put him together with the Apostle Paul, and they took that missionary team and came into Europe. And all around the world, God did a great work. But you know what happened? What's the next verse say? Here comes somebody, and they kept back, verse 2, kept back part of the price. And they said, oh, we're going to get involved in the offering too. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Drop dead. And all they did was lie about their mission offering. You better be glad that God is not in the killing mood anymore like he was right there. I mean, it wasn't adultery and it wasn't fornication and it wasn't all this heinous stuff. Here comes somebody in because God looked at the sacrifice of his people, and here walks somebody in that's a hypocrite about that thing and lies about that thing, and they still gave an offering, but they kept back part of the price for themselves. But they didn't have to give any of it. And the example of the early church, though, is what the priority was to bring in the funds so the work of the church and the work of the gospel could keep going. In chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, that early church. Of course, in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it talks about every week, every first day of the week, they're taking up that money. You say, why do we do that? Well, that's the pattern of the early church. By the way, we don't even take up Wednesday night offerings. Have y'all noticed that? We take up just offerings on the first day of the week. That's all. And it's the first day of the week. Again, we want him to be first. Before we buy all our hamburgers on Monday. Amen. We're going to prioritize him first. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the example of the early church. This is why we believe in missions giving. Because the words of Jesus Christ about our first giving, and because of the example of the early church, what they did with their money. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty." Nobody in here is like that. "Their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, not us, by the will of God." The early church here, the church of Macedonia, they are giving their money to the support of missions, even in their deep poverty. What an example. Here, Paul, take the money and give somebody the gospel, because that's more important than my food. I know of a church one time years ago. There were people, they didn't have much money to give, and that family fasted and prayed 1 week out of the month and took that grocery money and put it in the missions. You say, "Preacher, that's ridiculous." No, that's valuing God's work and the souls of. That's like these people right here. The third thing, I'll just quote it to you. You know 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Why do we believe in missions giving? Because it helps us not to get in trouble. You know, if you can be a great giver, you probably will not become a very covetous person. You know what we're eat up with? Covetousness. And God says it's idolatry. The covetousness is all over the TV. It's all over the internet. I mean, I can't even pull up a thing of news on my phone without them showing me some ad of something. It makes me sick. I just want to throw the thing down. I don't want to buy nothing you have. It's like getting these calls, you know. Am I the only one getting the calls? "Hello, sir. Is this Brent Logan?" "Yeah, who are you?" "Oh, I'll just take a moment of your time. You're trying to sell me something that I never thought about before you called me. And if you hadn't called me, I never would have considered it, and I'm not considering it now." Aren't I cold? I don't like commercials. I don't like people. I don't need to be more covetous. That's why, I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, maybe we need to go to this, and I hate, I don't shop anyway, so it don't matter in their ability. My wife does all shopping. I said, "Well, honey, maybe we need to do this. Maybe you just need to order all our stuff from the grocery store online. You can do that now." You know what they said? You know what the principle is? If you'll buy your stuff online, you'll cut your grocery bill by, what was it, brother? 25%, something like that. You know why? Because it's a fact. When you go to the grocery store, you don't buy just what you need.
That's right.
Nobody does. But if you make a list of what you need and you go on the internet and you type it in, they'll have it waiting for you at the grocery aisle. Now, I've never done that. I don't know how people would pick out the apples I want and all that, but that's what they do. And here's what we do. We have a covetous spirit about us. Somebody sees something else, somebody has a nice, "Oh, I want that. You see so-and-so's car? Yeah, well, okay, I'll get me a little better one, We have a covetous spirit. "Oh, you got the newest phone. Well, I'm going to get the newest, newer one next time." We're just covetous people. It's never enough. We're never just content. Don't need anymore. Don't want anymore. But you know what will help you with that? Start giving your money away. Try it. You say, "Preacher, I'm just so much
we spend more money than we get, than we make, and we get all these bills, and I don't know what to do. I know what you can do. Take your money and give most of it to missions, and with the little bit you have left, you'll have to quit buying junk. The love of money is the root of all evil. Well, how do I help myself with that? Just give your money away. Give it to missions. It'll help you. It'll help the temptation. I've had people come to me and say, you know, brother, you need to buy this. And I said, no, I can't do that. I give to missions. Now in my spirit, yeah, maybe I want that, but no, I can't do that. You know why? I give to missions. And that's not a grudging statement. That's my life. I don't have time for covetousness because the world is going to hell without God. And it's more important than the toys and the things that I can obtain. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You're close by there. There's a fourth blessing. A fourth reason why we believe in missions giving. Because of what Jesus said. Because of the example of the church. Because of the dangers of money. And then because of the blessing that it brings. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, every man, according as he purposeth his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God says, you know what, if you'll get involved in this missions giving, which is the context of this chapter, so that the gospel of Christ will be distributed, he says, this is what will happen. You'll find some cheer in your life. God loves a cheerful giver. And you know what else? The Lord will love you for it. You know why we believe in missions giving? Because the Lord just loves it. He loves it. He loves it when people give for the cause for which he died. He loves when people prioritize others that they've not seen so the gospel go all the way around the world. He loves it. And he not only loves us giving, he loves it when we cheerfully give. And I tell you what, if you'll really get on giving like you should, if you give, it'll bring cheer in your heart. You know what? I look around and people are so stinking miserable. I used to think that was just a Romanian problem. You know, we lived in Romania. It was, oh, what a depressing place to live. All those communist high-rises and the big transportation, you know, the buses would go down the middle of the street and all these, you know, all these grandmas, all these people be riding the bus on their way to work. And I mean, it just looked, oh, it just depressed you watching it. Their faces were just as long as their shoes, amen. And they'd be there all bundled up and they're just, and there was no joy in life. And I thought, wow, that's just because all this communism and all this poverty and all this, and no, they don't have God and so they're all depressed. And then I come back to America and I see a lot of people still miserable and depressed. You know what'll help you? Bring some cheer in your life? Praise God, we just gave some money to put a roof on a church. Hallelujah, we just took on 12 more missionaries. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, we just raised my mission offering and getting the gospel around the world. Bring some joy. The happiest people I've ever met in my life were the biggest givers I ever met in my life. I was talking to Brother Gates after church this morning. We're talking about my granddad. He said, you know, your granddad was about the prayingest man he said I ever knew in my life. He said he was the prayingest man I ever knew. He said, you know, he'd pray 3 hours without dropping a hat. And he said, you know, when he says he'd pray for you, he'd pray for you. My grandpa, he would pray on the airplane. He'd pre-pray everywhere. I mean, he just knew the Lord. But you know what else he was? Here's what Brother Gates told me. He said, you know, everybody doesn't know this, but you know what your granddaddy did while he was over there in Coleman, pastor, started that little church. You see, you know what he did? He went out there and raised sweet potatoes. And he'd sell those sweet potatoes. He said, I've watched him take those sweet potatoes, he said, and get that money together and send it off to missionaries. He lived in a trailer. And then that burned down. And you think if you lost everything you own that it just sort of just bottomed you out, you know. I mean, everything he owned went up in smoke. And so they built him a little house there, and he got a house, a little bitty house. He just kept giving his money away. Grandpa never had anything.
But boy, he was so happy. I remember he'd grow tomatoes out front. He said, Brent, now you know you can grow big tomatoes in rabbit compost. I looked at him, I said, what? Y'all know what rabbit compost is? He would just gather up rabbit droppings and plant tomato seeds in there and grow tomatoes and eat the tomatoes. He never had much, but he's happier than a lot of people. He's one of the happiest, joyfulest Christians I ever knew in my life. And so when he got to be 80 years old, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just resign the church. I don't know where I live, what I do, but I'll just go to the mission field. Had more than he ever had. You know why? Because he was a great, cheerful giver, and it brought such joy to his life. I tell you what, you keep spending money on you, you're going to get more miserable.
Just mark my words. The cheerfulness comes in reaching the lost and giving your money to God. And lastly, why do we believe in missions giving? Because of what it accomplishes. In the same chapter, or the chapter before, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says in verse 14, but by an equality that now, at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want. That their abundance also may be a supply for your want. There may be an equality. He talks about their want. They're people that have needs that must be met. And we give to missions because it meets the need. You can't put God bless yous in a missionary's gas tank. It takes the need being met by our giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, verse 12, for the administration of this service, which is giving, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. And he talks about that gospel of Christ in verse 13, and all men, it meets the needs. It meets the needs. Paul says, you know, you've given to me not that I desire gift, but fruit that would abound to your account. A need needs to be met, and you're helping me meet that need. You know, I look today, my mind's not all that great. So I asked Brother Jerry to jot down some things. You know, this past year, we bought or helped buy two vehicles for two missionaries. We bought thousands of dollars worth of Bibles, thousands of dollars worth of Bibles to go to Africa, to go to South America. We've used our money, listen to this, to buy a nice piano for the church in Greece that didn't have a piano anymore. So they got, you know why they got music today? Because we bought them an instrument. They had somebody play it, but they... It just, what they had was broke. It won't work. It met a need is what I'm trying to tell you. That dear brother, some of you may have forgot down there in Paraguay, Brother Alfredo, he went out and started another church. And he had a little building, people coming, didn't have a roof on it. So you know what our missions giving was able to do? We were able to put a roof on his church building. Because we met a need by our sacrificial giving to meet that need that he could not meet. In addition to that, Brother Philbert down there in St. Lucia is building that building. He just ran out of money. We sent him money to help continue finishing the construction of that building. Brother Roberts in India. Brother Roberts started brand new work in India, just getting off the ground. He needed some money. We were able to just said, cut the check, send it to Brother Roberts, help him get that work started in India, in that brand new place. The Guadalajara, $3,000 we spent to get Bibles that will be waiting on us when we get down there that we'll be able to put in the hands of people that need the gospel, need to hear about Jesus. We bought motorcycles for South American preachers. We bought packages, $5,000 worth of packages to give to Israeli soldiers to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So why do we believe in missions giving? Because of what it accomplishes, what it does. We paid, praise the Lord, for medical insurance for our missionary family that they had to use. that they could not provide. We paid for the little digital things that have been smuggled across North Korea by the thousands for people to get the gospel that have never heard the gospel a day in their life. That's what you have done by what you've given. Why, preacher, do we give? Because of that list. And that's not even the 100-plus missionaries that we support that helps them keep living and providing for their families so that they can preach the gospel every day. You know, I've heard some people say this before, and I'm finished. I'm wrapping up. You know, it's all right about that missions giving, but we don't like that you talk about all those numbers. Let me help you with that, too. I want to help you with that. Evidently, number one, those people that say that, and I tell you why people say that, they have a problem with that because they don't have a part in that. You say, preacher, I don't think we ought to boast about things like that. Have you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9? Do you know how many times Paul uses the word boast? Read it. He said, man, I boast about you everywhere I go. It's to provoke other churches that aren't doing anything so they'll do something. Read it. Matter of fact, some of you are looking at me funny. I'm going to read it for you anyway then, praise the Lord. He said, I boast of you. I didn't make that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at it. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, all about giving. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 24. 2 Corinthians 8, 24. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast, the forwardness of your mind, which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. A year ago to do what? To give. And your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. For, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Unprepared to do what? To give their mission offering. We, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. He'd been bragging about their giving. And he's just worried. He said, now when I come, if you don't come through on the offering, it's going to make you look awful bad. You know why people don't like the people that put those bumper stickers on their car that says, my child is an honor student? Listen now. Because their child ain't. And so they got another bumper sticker come out with, my child beat up your honor student. Have you seen that? People drive around on their cars like that. You know why? They're upset that somebody else is doing more than they're doing. You know, church, I boast and brag on you for doing what God wants you to do. And that's not a wicked thing. That's what Paul did. Because I thank God that you put a priority in your life above just your pets and your hobbies and your life. And you put it on the sake of the gospel. And I salute you, church, for doing that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know why I know there's nothing wrong with that? Somebody said, well, yeah, what about that widow that put in 2 mites? Yeah, and Jesus made a point to tell you how many mites there were. He could have just said that woman came in and put in an offering. He said she put in 2 mites. He didn't just say mite. He could have just said one. He said she gave in 2. You know why he told you that? Because you needed to know. Have you ever read about those offerings? Went back over there in Exodus. Boy, I can go through all this and I'm not going to do it. Because all of you agree with what I'm saying, so it's all right. I can go back in Exodus. You know what they did in Exodus? They took a big offering and they said, just bring free will, whatever you want to bring. And you know what they did when they brought it? They counted it. Yeah. And then they wrote it down in a book for everybody to read for about 4,000 years. Yeah. And if that weren't enough, when David came along,
The Bible tells us over there in 2 Chronicles, he says that David got all the people of God together in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and he said, we're going to build a temple, and I'm going to tell you what I gave. And he lists everything he gave.
Well, I just think that's bragging.
Yeah, it is. It's bragging on God. It's showing that God's first. And you know what happened then? The elders and the rulers of Israel came in, and then they started giving. And you know what it did? It counted everything that they gave and put it in the Bible for you to read about it. So many times offerings were given. And look, over there in Numbers, he counted how many bullocks they gave, how many goats they gave, how many lambs they gave. Listen to me. How many spoons they gave. And he weighed their silver and he weighed their gold. You know why? He wanted everybody to know about their offering. And I tell you what, a lot of people don't want anybody to know about their offering because they ain't got no offering. And I'm proud of you, church, for having an offering for Jesus Christ. And I don't know what we'll do this year, but I salute you of putting Jesus Christ first. And if I could put it in a book and publish it in the newspaper, I'd do that too for the whole world to see that everybody don't waste their money on junk. Amen. Some people give it to God. Amen and amen. I just don't know why they have to read that aloud. Because we want people to know that what we have is for the glory of God and for the purpose of God. And listen, if God puts your tears and counts your tears and puts them in a book, listen, I'm finished. And God counts your hair on your head, you think he's interested in the number of your offering? There's nobody in here that gives a flip about the numbers of hair on their head unless they're bald. Isn't that right? What do I care? God says it's I'm interested in it. It's important to me. And I got them all numbered. You think he's got your mission offering number? Well, sure he does. And we want to set the example to our children so they'll come up with that priority. Why do we believe in missions giving? It makes a difference. Because it pleases God. Because it puts him first. It keeps us from the dangers of money.